so it's helpful to dissociate like my accomplishments from who I am, and that's been important, reminding me like I'm still Grayson running a race. I'm not the world champion running the race, and I can't think that that's what I'm always defined as now.
This is Running for Real, the podcast for runners who know that for every runner's high, there are just as many lows. All those just missed PRs, easy runs that feel hard, injury blues, and more. Each week, we'll talk to running, health, and wellness experts about their highs, lows, and best advice to build our confidence. Running for Real is about being honest, being brave, and most of all, not feeling alone. And now here's our host, Tina Muir.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to episode 185 of the Running for Real podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. And I know this is still a bit of a strange time that we are in, but I'm hoping these podcasts are keeping you to stay positive. They're inspiring you. They're making you think differently and making you kind of challenge yourself. This has definitely been a challenging year for many of us. And I'm hoping that this podcast is somewhat a bright light in your days and your time. But remember, you can also be that person for so many others by just kind of being yourself, by talking about things that you're struggling with, by also, you know, checking in with loved ones and letting them know that you care about them. I hope you know that just because you don't have maybe a massive platform or a podcast of your own, that doesn't mean you don't have any impact. You still can reach out to people and send them love and just be a kind soul in this world, because we definitely need it right now. All right. So today I'm excited to bring you Grayson Murphy on the show. Grayson is one of the definitely up and coming elite runners. She has had a lot of success in not much time in her running career, and then has since taken some bold moves, stepped away, followed her heart, stepped away from something that maybe wasn't the best choice for her, as you will hear about in this episode today. But she's followed her heart, been very brave, and the risks have paid off. But we also talk today about kind of the, people always talk about the fear of failure, but what about the fear of success? What about when success keeps coming your way? That adds a lot of pressure and expectations. So I think this episode is going to help a lot of people and really make us all think a little bit more about the way that the grass is always greener on the other side. So I am not going to say too much more. If you want to go check out the show notes, you can go to tinamuir.com/episode185. And yeah, let's go meet Grayson. Thank you to Athletic Greens for sponsoring this episode of the Running for Real podcast. By now, you know I am a big fan of Athletic Greens. The Ultimate Daily is the all-in-one supplement with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients that work together to help the body absorb and synthesize these nutrients in a highly bioavailable form. It was originally developed for athletes and high performers. Just one scoop of Ultimate Daily delivers adaptogens, antioxidants, prebiotics, probiotics, and a superfood complex that helps support the body's nutritional needs. And I have found it just to be a wonderful addition to my life. I wake up first thing in the morning, I stumble into the kitchen, I pour water into my shaker, mix the scoop of Athletic Greens in there and drink it down while I write in my journal. Life-changing, gets me off on the right foot. I know I've got, you know, my safety net of nutrition going in every day, even if my diet hasn't been the best, particularly during pregnancy. But it has been just a great thing. It's taken by elite, it's taken by professionals, health conscious go-getters. It makes it so easy for you to get this comprehensive nutrition without the need for multiple pills, powders, or complex routines. It really is the most complete supplement for a better you. It has the antioxidant equivalent of 12 servings of fruits and vegetable in every scoop. And I know that I'm getting these hard to find ingredients and a high level of antioxidants that can boost my immunity. Bailey and Steve both recently got the flu, and I honestly think a big part of how I somehow managed to not get it was because of Athletic Greens. I genuinely believe that. Now, my friends, you can get a 20 serving travel pack for free that's worth $79 by going to athleticgreens.com/Tina. That's athleticgreens.com/Tina. And you will be able to get that 20-serving, $79 value pack for free. And with these big races we have coming up, you do not want to be leaving this to chance. It feels horrible if you wake up the week of the race with sickness. Get this in your system so that it's ready, it's helping protect you. So when race day comes, you are ready to go. I believe in it so much, and I hope you do too. Grayson, thank you so much for joining me today on the Running For Real podcast. You are someone I have been kind of admiring from afar for a while now, and I'm excited to dig into your story and let my listeners know about it, because I think it's really going to be refreshing for people to hear from you, and there's a lot of lessons that people can learn from you. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Okay, so firstly, your story kind of comes together a bit in a surprising fashion, or not so much surprising, but kind of jumps up, ramps up very quickly in many aspects of your life. But you only started running your sophomore year of college, but is that right? But quickly improved to end up a five-time D1 All-American. And, you know, that's a huge accomplishment for someone who only started running as a sophomore. That's very, very rare to hear. So tell us about looking at that rise, looking at that, taking up running to being at the very top of the college level. Luke, do you see that as a good thing now you look back now, or was any part of that, did it feel too fast? You almost wish you had those first few years of kind of getting your feet under you and kind of easing your way into the running world. Tell us about your thoughts looking back on it now.
I've kind of gone back and forth. I think there's pros and cons to each. Like, I'm grateful that I'm not really burnt out and that I don't have those year lifetime miles on me. So I'm pretty injury not prone. Mm-hmm. And that's really nice. And I feel pretty fresh a lot of the time. But at the same time, I do get jealous when I hear people talking about their high school experiences and when things weren't as intense or so much pressure. Because I think I was telling my coach, David Roche, the other day, I kind of jumped into the world of running and was immediately at a point where, like, everything has to be a win and a good thing and you're beating. And so I never got those races that were purely just for fun, just because, and just to be there with friends. So now we're kind of circling back and trying to relearn some things that I kind of missed out on. So in general, I think I'm glad that I didn't start running sooner, but I did miss on some key formative things, I think, that I'm now having to relearn.
Yeah, it's kind of the basic runner lessons that most runners learn in those first 5-10 years that you kind of skipped. And, you know, some of them are good, some of them are bad, but it definitely puts you in a different place. And I'm assuming, by the way, you explained that when you did take it up in your sophomore year, was that someone saw you running and said, hey, you better try out for the team? How did you end up on the team?
No, so I played soccer growing up, and I played soccer my freshman year of college. And then when I decided to transfer from that school that I was at, I knew I still wanted to be on a team and like with a team. I'd always had a team, so I didn't want to leave that behind, but I didn't want to play soccer anymore. And I thought, well, what's feasibly the only sport I can kind of walk onto with zero experience? And I was like, well, I think I could run. That doesn't seem like it requires too much skill. Which now looking back, I'm like, that was ridiculous. It definitely requires skill. But yeah, so I just asked if I could like kind of walk on a tryout for the track team, and they were like, sure, whatever. It was a pretty low-key, small mid-major school that I went to for my sophomore and junior year. So they didn't really care. And yeah, I just kind of jumped in.
And I bet once they realized like what you were capable of, they were just absolutely over the moon of what they had landed on.
I was too. I was like, what the heck?
Yeah. And so you mentioned your sophomore junior year. Does that mean you transferred for your senior?
Again. Yeah. So my senior was that fall running year. Yes, that transfer was. Yeah.
Okay.
And mostly I wasn't on scholarship at the Santa Clara. That was my second school. And I kind of figured like I've got this newfound talent. I might as well use it to get school paid for and come out a little better for the wear than continue paying a lot of money for it.
And so, you know, going back to kind of coming into the sport and being successful very early on, you know, you showing that talent, you know, are there any things that you mentioned about the high school missing out on, you know, when I was in high school this or when I was in high school that, for someone listening who thinks someone who shoots up to success like that is so lucky and it's just, that's the dream. Tell us about some of the disadvantages. You mentioned pressure pretty early on, but, you know, what are some of the hard parts that someone might not see that you have experienced kind of having that jump up to fame in that, not fame so much in the college setting, but jump up to the top in that way?
I guess, yeah. So pressure, it's really fun when every race is a PR and when every workout is a PR essentially. And it's fun at the beginning. And then it starts to feel like, when am I going to not PR? And like, when is this going to level out? And because, you know, inevitably that's coming and you can't just continue to get better all the time. And so that's a little nerve-wracking. And you feel like if I don't PR, I failed, because up until this point, everything has been something better and bigger. So the pressure does kind of get to be a lot. And then especially in the college setting, when you get to like the All-American level, then you start getting media recognition and press, and people are like voting on you on Flow Track. And then it gets to be like, what have I got myself into? Like, this started out as me just wanting to be on a team for fun. And now it's become something that causes me like stress.
And did you enjoy that part? the people talking about you and stuff, or was that something you kind of wish wasn't there?
It was mostly positive. I'm fortunate that for me, everything was pretty positive. But it was another level of pressure that was added that I had to cope with. And so in some ways, it might have been nice to not have it there. But then in some ways, it does fuel sometimes, I think, motivation, which probably isn't the best fuel for motivation, I'm learning. But it did, I think, affect races sometimes and outcomes.
Yeah.
So it's a give and take, but yeah, it was different. And then I would say too, like being at a low, my training age is only 6 years, even though I'm 24. And so that's been kind of hard for coaches, especially to like wrap their heads around, where I'm like a senior, but I only need to run 60 miles a week in college to be like a top level 10K runner or one of the best cross country runners in the nation. So that's been hard. And I've been fortunate that I've had coaches that are really understanding of that. But I think that's something I will have to continue to speak up for about myself, because I'm not at 100 miles a week. I'm
so
still
for someone low. Listening who's thinking that, like, well, hey, if you're running this well at 60, why wouldn't you step it up to 100? Like, tell us, why is that?
I think my philosophy and my coaches has always been, why would you run more if you can do the same off of less? Because it's less tear and strain on your body. And then ideally, you should be able to run longer because you're not putting as much stress on you. Then, so I kind of look at it as like a more efficient way to run. Like, you have this talent, so why use it? And then when you need to get to that point where you have to be running 100 mile weeks, then you can do that. But up until then, like, rely on the talent and take advantage of it while you have it, because they're not always going to be young and spry. So, which is coming soon, I think.
And tell us about kind of some of the moments where, you know, things did start to stagnate, or maybe you did have a quote unquote failure. How did you handle that at the time? Because those are very testing moments. And granted, most people go through them as high schoolers, which are a little bit more kind of, you're unsure of who you are, you're kind of struggling with your identity. So you at least have the years on you, a few years on you to be able to deal with that. But it's still, it's hard for anyone to kind of get those reality checks. So how have you dealt with those in the past?
Well, to be honest with you, there wasn't a year in college where I didn't PR in all of my events. So that was always there, I guess.
But what about like not winning NCAAs? Like, Well, did you see that as a failure? Like, I wasn't the best.
No, because I never thought I was going to be, or like, okay. The only time I didn't improve at NCAAs in place was 1 year, and I was sixth instead of fifth, like switched. And so yeah. It was, and I ran faster to get sixth than I had the previous year to get fifth. And so it was like, I guess you call it a failure, but logically I was like, it's not, because I ran better than I did last year. It just happened that this year a lot of other girls did too. And like fifth and sixth is kind of, it's one place different. So mm-hmm. I guess maybe in my pro career though, while I was PRing, I think I felt like I stagnated mentally, maybe, or I kind of like lost my reason for why am I doing things and what's going on. And that was hard to deal with. And that was kind of all of last year. And what led eventually to me choosing to leave that NAZI Elite group was just like, this isn't right.
What did become the focus then, if your why was kind of missing?
Well, first figuring out what my why was in an ideal world. So I was trying to ask, like, what makes me happy? And why do I run? And why do I race? And if I could really get down to the essence of those answers, then I felt like, okay, now I can move forward and like build a life around those instead of trying to work backwards.
Mm-hmm. But even that is thinking that way. I talk about that a lot on this podcast and in my mental training course, the finding your why section is huge. Mm-hmm. And actually I have your coach, David Roche, is one of the key people in that section. it's still not something that most runners think about, especially as you said about being so new into the sport. How did you know to look for a why? How did you know that, you know, for so many years, I mean, I was training hard from 14 to 28 and I really didn't think about my why until I had left the sport. So mm-hmm. How did you get was it David? Was it someone else? How did you get the kind of mindset to think about that?
I'm not sure. It wasn't David. We didn't meet until this, like a couple months ago. But I think I am an engineer by trade. That's what my degree is in. Mm-hmm. And that was a very heavy degree, I guess, to get. And so then when I thought, like, I'm going to run professionally, I better have a good reason for not using this very specific degree that I just spent 5 years getting. And that is like, by societal standards, I think a big accomplishment. So it's like, I need to figure this out, because otherwise I have a whole other life that is completely separate from this waiting for me that might be just as or more important. So mm-hmm. I should figure this out. And then I think emotionally or spiritually, I realize like, you don't have a reason for things. It's kind of unsustainable. You're not going to be in it very long. So I needed to find my own intrinsic internal motivation, because otherwise I wasn't going to be running for much longer. Yeah.
So impressive that you were able to think about these things, even just, you know, as you said, with your degree, that makes a bit more sense, but still, I mean, it's impressive that you have that kind of ability to reflect in that way. Now, for someone who, before we move on, I want to talk about that degree in civil engineering. Before we move on, for someone who is maybe in that situation that you were in, of suddenly having these big improvements, suddenly feeling all the success, but almost fearing that success, because like you said, when will it end? Now there's more pressure. Now I have to perform. What would you like to say to that person?
To try and get back to the reason or the person you were when you started the journey, mm-hmm. and try and, like for me, it was for fun and for friends and community. And so when I get stressed out, I try and remember, like, why did I start running in the first place? And that should always be my first reason now too. And that will always be there no matter mm-hmm. if I plateau or don't PR or whatever happens. And if you can kind of reassure yourself and put yourself back who you used to be, I find that that's easier for me, at least to kind of help cope with it.
For sure. Yeah. And I think that actually lesson can apply to everyone listening. I mean, we've all gone through phases where we've had a lot of success, where one PR comes mm-hmm. after the next. And and then suddenly it's not, or suddenly something goes wrong. But you can still take everything Grayson just said there. It doesn't have to be success as in winning national titles. It could be success within your own age group, within your own, you know, just PRs or whatever it may be. So thank you for that. All right. Yeah. So you having your degree in civil engineering, that's definitely not a usual degree we hear of within runners. But, you know, do you have any ideas of what you want to do with that beyond, you know, when running isn't so much the focus?
Not right now. I haven't really thought that far ahead. And I don't know, running is what excites me right now, not civil engineering.
Okay. So, well, good for you for sticking to, to where your heart is right now.
I'm not going to pin anything on it. Okay. I do some side work right now, but that's more like a hobby, so I don't go crazy sitting at home all the time.
Well, we all need that for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so after college, you signed your first pro contract with Northern Arizona Elite. Tell us about what that was like. You know, I remember coming over here to the US and going to university, and it was seemed so intense. Everyone seemed so serious. Like, I'd come from England where my training was kind of like you turn up to a track and let's do 12 by 200. You know, and suddenly I was in this situation where you have to be at practice every day. You have to do this, you have to do that. And it seemed to me like, whoa. And I can imagine that's what it was like with going to a professional group, having you again being new in the sport. And yes, you'd had a college career, but still Northern Arizona Elite. I mean, they've definitely worked hard. They definitely put their time in. So tell us about what that experience was like for you in those first few weeks of transitioning to life in Flagstaff.
Yeah, I guess. Well, the structure of meeting was pretty much the same as college because we had practice times in college and then there were practice times at NAZ Elite. So that felt pretty normal. The hardest part was dealing with now running was the only thing I was doing, as opposed to before I was going to class and meetings with professors and lots of homework. And now it was running and then that was the end of my day. Like the rest of the day was kind of open and
resting,
free. Yeah. That was really hard for me to cope with. And it's hard for me to do. That's why I do engineering on the side and try and do other things like the planners, because I just can't be that idle. I'll think myself into a hole.
Oh, yeah.
So I need to be doing things.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's nothing wrong with that. And then talk about, you know, going to Nazali at that time, they were really starting to, you know, come up. I mean, everyone has seen recently at the trials having, I think, three in the top eight with the women. You know, some of the guys have been having a lot of success. Was any part of you kind of getting there and feeling intimidated, feeling like, again, when I look back on my first few months of college, I felt the need to prove myself. They'd brought me in and I needed to do that. How did you feel being around, you know, these very good runners who were very serious about their running?
I did feel like I needed to like prove myself, and they take it very seriously, and like it's called a job and we're at work when we're at training, and Ben's our boss in a way. Those are kind of like the verbiage that was used, so it felt very serious. So I did feel like I need to be serious, and I'm at practice, and I need to, running is intense and serious all the time. which they're totally not. They're at Denley Runs with those women that were fun and free, and we were all laughing, and they're great role models for us. But yeah, most of the time I was very serious, and I felt like the workouts looked big and scary, and I just had to do them because I was there, regardless of, like, I feel like every workout was a PR in some way. It was either the longest I'd gone, the fastest I'd gone for so long, the most I'd ever done of a rep, something crazy. And I just had to do it because that was kind of what the situation I was in. And it was my choice. So I felt like, well, I chose this, so I have to follow through with it and show up and be a good teammate and work my butt off.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's nothing against Northern Arizona Elite. As we've seen, it's a wonderful place to be. Coaches are fantantastic. The athletes are, you know, there's serious camaraderie going on there. We can all see that. But something, you know, about the situation was kind of not for you. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like it takes a lot of courage to be able to say this isn't right for me. So tell us about what happened next, what you decided to do after that year.
Yeah, so I just, like you said, I kind of think I told everyone I felt like a puzzle piece that wasn't the right, it was like almost the right piece. Mm-hmm. When you're doing a puzzle, you try to jam it in, you're like, no, it has to fit, it looks right. And then you're like, wait, it's not the right one. Mm-hmm. I think that was kind of what went on. And when I realized, I was really unhappy too. And I think that was kind of the big motivator, was like, why am I so sad all the time? And why do I just feel kind of like anxious and on edge? And I realized I needed community and I needed family. And it's hard being, I think Flagstaff and me felt like an extended training camp. It wasn't a home. It was just kind of where I was doing this work. And that was hard because my heart was somewhere else. And I kind of realized I can't live like that with my heart in Salt Lake and my body trying to run fast in Flagstaff. So I talked with Ben a couple of times and we decided like, this is what's going to be best for me as a person and an athlete. And he was really helpful and encouraging of all of that. And so were all the women there that, like, I still talk to them all and we're still really close. Shout out to Alphine. She's amazing from last weekend. But yeah, I moved home and just kind of decided I was going to build my life how I wanted it to be from the ground up.
Thank you so much to Treksmith for sponsoring this episode and for supporting me. Now, many of you have heard how Ultra stepped in at the beginning of the year to come support me during this maternity year, during this pregnancy year, and just be there for me despite a no promise of performances, no promises of expectations, or to be honest, being able to form solid sentences anytime after the baby is due. Ultra did that at the beginning of the year, and I'm so excited and thankful that Treksmith has stepped in to support me as well. Treksmith is a Boston-based brand led by a group of runners who are committed to making classically stylish, cutting-edge apparel. I can absolutely attest to that. Even last year when I held my meetup at their Trek House, which is, let me just tell you a bit about that for a second, they have this event space within their shop in Boston, and rather than using the entire shop for their clothes to, you know, promote their products, to sell their products, which you would absolutely expect a brand to do, Treksmith has turned part of it into the Trek House, which is a place where you can get a coffee, you can celebrate with your community, you can meet there after a run. I held my meetup there and had over 50 people come, and it was just the most wonderful feeling. There was just this buzz in the air. It was such a cool place to be. And that just kind of shows a lot about what this brand means. They also, as I said about the quality, the style, after my meetup, I went and looked around, or snooped around, I should say, the products to see what the big deal was. And I'd heard so many people talking about how much they love their products, and they are such good quality. And let me tell you, now I am wearing them myself and have been for the last few months, even at the end of my pregnancy, they are so comfortable and light and soft. And I just absolutely love them. So if you have been thinking about trying it, I'm sharing each of the things I've been enjoying over the past few weeks. And one of the things I'm enjoying right now is the Twilight Tea. The Twilight Tea is an ultra lightweight training tea that is just built to be a workout staple. This hardworking piece was inspired by their summer tradition of Twilight track meets, which I love this. There's so many aspects of their product names that come from these really unique things that can be found within the running community. And this is another example of that. So Twilight Meets, if you don't know, are these under the radar races that are perfect for testing your fitness. And this tea is designed for running hard in warmer temperatures. It's made from Light as Air Bravio blend, which is a unique Italian made micro mesh that is silky soft, moisture wicking, and incredibly cool against your skin. I absolutely love this. And if you want to go to a Treksmith and try something on for yourself, you can go to treksmith.com/Tina Muir. That's treksmith.com/Tina Muir. And if you use code Tina, you can get 15% off your first order. I absolutely love these products and I think you will too. Go to treksmith.com/Tina Muir. Enter code Tina for 15% off.
I talked with Ben a couple of times and we decided, like, this is what's going to be best for me as a person and an athlete. And he was really helpful and encouraging of all of that. And so were all the women there that, like, I still talk to them all and we're still really close. Shout out to Alphine. She's amazing from last weekend. But yeah, I moved home and just kind of decided I was going to build my life how I wanted it to be from the ground up. So here we are.
You know, a few things I want to ask you about that from there. But one thing I want to mention with Flagstaff, that for people who don't haven't been there, or for recreational runners listening, you hear all the time about Flagstaff being this amazing place, and it is, mm-hmm. but it is amazing place for runners to train. It's right. not yeah. like a big city that has events every night and things for you to do. It's like you said about a training camp. It is set up for you to be able to get the best training you can get in. So I just want to mention that, because you know, I wrongly believe that like Flagstaff was this, like, I kind of imagined it a bit like Portland, Oregon, and it's great for training, but it's also got so much else going on. But like Flagstaff is kind of, you go there to train. So, you know, I could see absolutely why that would kind of cause some stress in you, and I would not be able to handle that either. Absolutely not. I would need other things in my life outside of my running that were enough to not let me, you know, lose my mind. But you know, moving home to Salt Lake, was any part of that, like, you know, telling your family about this, making the decision to move home? I mean, that's quite a hard thing to do. It kind of almost feels like you're crawling back to your parents, like, help me, like, did any part of you struggle with that?
Yes. I was worried about what other people would think. And I know we're always told, don't think that, but mm-hmm. I think we always do. Mm-hmm. And so I was worried, like, what are people going to think? And I was worried that it looked from the outside like the perfect situation, and I was getting faster. Like, I PR'd by 50 seconds on the track in the 10K. And so I think from an outside perspective, it must have looked kind of weird, because why would you leave that situation where you're on one of the best teams in the country and you're getting fast? And like, why? What are you thinking? I didn't want the reputation for being someone that just like bounces around either. And then it was hard to professionally walk out of a contract, mm-hmm. And choose to have no income for an indefinite amount of time until you can find a new one or prove yourself, and hopefully someone will pick you up. So that was pretty scary too. Like, well, how am I going to make money and like support myself in this? So yeah, that was all hard, and I grappled with it, but I just ultimately decided it was going to be worth it if it meant that I could be happy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that sounds, it sounds when you're saying it to yourself so crazy, like, oh, you know, I've got to give up money and a really cool place to be and performances, and knowing that, you know, I may not run as fast again, but uh-huh. I want it to be happy. It sounds so obvious, doesn't it? Like, well, of course you want to do that to be happy, but it's not as easy to actually take the steps. And yeah, you don't know if you're going to be happy. So, yeah, that's why I wanted to bring that up, because it's such a, you know, we all do it, don't we? We get stuck in these situations where we don't want to make waves. Maybe it's a relationship that you're in that you just kind of keep quiet. I mean, I know I have, you know, in the past had some family members who have been like really tricky to deal with, but I've kind of just, you know, bit my tongue and been like, you know what, I don't want to make any waves. But we all have situations where you could do better by speaking what's on your mind and being honest mm-hmm. with yourself. You know, taking a step like you did, where you, you know, moved away and took that risk because you knew that something didn't feel quite right with you. And it takes a lot of courage to do that. And so you moved home. How did Saucony come into the picture?
They came in after, so I spent pretty much all of the last half of last year unsponsored, and I was just racing and trying to get results so I had something for my resume. And after I won US Mountain Running Champs, we had been talking with them briefly. We'd been in kind of talks with several companies by then, me and my agent. So after the win, of course, they were all immediately more interested. And Saucony, I met some of them they hosted the race at US Mountain Champs. So it was cool to meet some of them in person and kind of put faces to names. And I realized they were really cool people outside of just being Saucony representatives. And it was a cool company. And I learned a lot more about them there, and they were amazing and were willing to support me fully and for a long time. And that was kind of really cool to see their belief in me at that point. So that's when we signed with them. And then my first official race with them was US 10 mile champs and then world champs. So it moved pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But it was really fun and they've been amazing so far.
That's good. That's good. And, yeah. I definitely can attest to them being a great company as well. So good to hear that. And, you know, you said that was kind of coming in the second half of last year. So tell us about the thoughts that were going through your mind as you were back in Salt Lake when you didn't have a sponsor. Like, how did you keep yourself calm during that time to say that, you know what, things are going to work out, things are going to come together. I just need to, you know, do what's right for me and it'll work out. How did you, what was your inner narrative saying?
Pretty much that. It's just continuing to tell myself positive things like this will work out. It'll be the way it's meant to be. I do believe things happen for a reason. So I was thinking, like, I think I just need to have faith in myself and that I'm going to be able to perform well. And I know I can be a good athlete and representative for any company. So I need to just remember that and be confident in it. And it will manifest itself, was what I was hoping and believing. And it did. But it was scary, and I did have to run some races that I probably wouldn't have run otherwise, but just to run to get paid. And I did have to do some other small jobs, and I did have to really be tight with finances to make sure I could pay all of my bills on time. So it was stressful and required some very positive thoughts. Self and just deliberate action.
Yeah. Well, you definitely followed through with that. And it's been clear through this interview so far that you are good at doing that. So keep it up by all means. Now, you know, most runners in your position who are successful in college have this usual route. I followed it as well. Half marathon, marathon. You go on the roads for a while and then you maybe explore the trails if you're feeling quite brave or you're coming back from an injury or something. But you seem to have skipped a few steps and just kind of, you know, created your own path. So tell us about, you know, how that happened and why you didn't follow the typical runner kind of path that most elites follow.
So backtracking, back when I was trying to figure out what makes me happy in Flagstaff, I realized running outside and just being outside makes me really happy. And that doesn't mean running down the street on the road. I like running in the woods and exploring. And I love camping and hiking and mountain biking and all outdoor activities. And it felt like trail running really brought me closer to that feeling of fun than road running did. And so moving forward, I thought, like, well, I kind of threw everything out the window already. Like, I already left this team. Everything is in shambles. So might as well jump into trail running. And if I like it, cool. And if not, I don't have to do it because I'm unsponsored right now and I don't really have to answer to anyone. So this is like a perfect chance to try new things. And so I did a couple of trail races and loved them. I call them mountain races, actually. They were not what I learned very quickly. There's a difference between mountain and trail running. But yeah, I loved it. And then I was like, well, I guess I'll just do this. It's really fun. And it seems like I'm good at it. And more importantly, I'm really happy when I'm doing it, which was weird for me because races before on the track and road were very anxious, stressful events that I wasn't super excited to do. I felt like I had to do them just so I could do the training part.
Yep. You've been there. So related to that, you know, we said about Saucony coming in towards the second half of the year, but you had that time, this kind of exploration time to kind of follow your heart and do what brought you happiness. Does any part of you think, had you signed a contract with a company like Saucony immediately out the gate from leaving NAZ Elite, does any part of you think you would have not gone down this path because you would have felt like this big company is investing in me? You know, they're known for Molly Huddle and Laura Thwaite and, you know, I need to stick to what everyone else is doing. Do you think if they'd have come in right at the beginning, you would have still done what you did, or do you think you would have been too scared to kind of chop? Do you think the fact that you had to wait for that sponsorship, be it, you know, you didn't realize how long you're waiting, but
yeah,
that gave you that freedom to test it that you wouldn't have otherwise?
Yeah, I think it did. And I think a lot of people, you know, I'm sure the contracts are written such that like your bonuses are for what you will intend to be racing. And I don't think had I signed as a road athlete, there wouldn't be trail stuff because why? I'm not a trail runner. And that's a lot less enticing for you to think I'm going to go run this race that means nothing to no one really besides myself, as opposed to now where I've got track, road, and trail, and it's all fair game, and I'm supported in all ways. That feels a lot more healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it made me more valuable too as to them, because now I can do the roads and the trails, and I'm kind of a hybrid, and that's a much wider audience than just being kind of stuck in a B-level road racing area.
Hey friends, just a quick note to say that I know this has been a tough year. This has been tough for all of us. There is so much going on. There is so much we can't control. But I wanted to let you know that I've created a few things to help us get through this tough time. Now, if you are someone who has a fear of losing your job, you have lost your job, maybe you're a college grad coming out thinking, how am I going to get a job? Or maybe, as I know many of you are just someone who knows someone in that situation and it's hurting your heart to know that you can't do anything. Well, I created this guide for runners, which is going to be giving you advice from a psychiatrist, kind of on the psychological side of things, how we can handle this tough time, all those situations I mentioned. I've turned it into a 20-page guide and podcast interview. The podcast interview you'd hopefully listen to, but there is also a guide to go with it. Now, with that guide, I also included 20 other runners' advice for getting through these tough times if they have lost a job, and many of them have lost jobs, what they've learned from that experience. And I wanted to give you a way of accessing it. So if you go to tinamuir.com/job guide, that's tinamuir.com/job guide, you can get that free download to go check out, to read. If you are in that situation, I hope it will help you. And on that note, if you are a small business owner, I created a second guide, which is just for small business owners. In the second part of that podcast episode, the special report you may have heard a few weeks ago, I interviewed Ali Worthington. And she gave us lots of really helpful advice for getting through this time as a small business. But I also created a small business guide, which not only includes Ali's advice transcribed, but I also created a worksheet for you to go use to help you kind of navigate where to go next. So you can go to tinamuir.com/small business. That's tinamuir.com/small business to go find out more.
It made me more valuable to them, because now I can do the roads and the trails, and I'm kind of a hybrid, and that's a much wider audience than just being kind of stuck in a B-level road racing area.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And you know, you've shown so far that you followed your heart in both moving home, choosing what events and what distances you want to run. For someone who maybe is getting that tug that their life isn't going in alignment with what feels right to them. Tell us about some of the biggest advantages to doing that. Like, yes, it's scary. And as you said, you had to move home with losing, you know, a salary and all that kind of stuff. Like, of course it has its disadvantages, but try and convince someone who's feeling that way to follow the heart.
I think if you can follow your heart, you'll end up with the days you daydream about, but they're a reality. So I used to daydream about like hours in the mountains just running for fun, and that was a daydream, but now it's my reality, and it's so cool. And the places that I've gotten to go because I was willing to put up with like 6 months of stress is crazy. I have raced in Argentina, Patagonia, in Hawaii, on the Jurassic Park set. Like, those are the memories I will never forget. And dealing with 6 months of no salary and some stress is something I probably will forget. Or now, even now, it's just kind of a funny story. It doesn't really affect me. So it's way more life-changing to have those valuable memories and it's worth it, as opposed to a little bit of stress along the way.
Mm-hmm. And I want to add to anyone who's thinking, yeah, but I have a family, I have this, I have, you know, whatever, that I can't do this. It doesn't have to be maybe as an extreme as Grayson mm-hmm. was able to do. Unfortunately, you know, was young enough in her life that she could get away with it, but you can yeah. still take steps. If there's something that's interesting to you, is kind of in your mind, if you're thinking about it often, like you said, daydreaming about it, you can do something towards it. Be it like yeah. we heard about, you mentioned Alaphine, like, you know, mm-hmm. For her, she needed another outlet. She started crocheting and now look yeah. at her, she's got a little business on the side.
Yeah.
So that's another great example. Like it, you know, Alaphine hasn't said, I'm going to quit running to focus on this. She's just doing it as kind yeah. of something that she enjoys. So you can mm-hmm. take it up on a small kind of small level at some point, even if it's just for the enjoyment as a hobby. So just yeah, thank totally. You for your advice there. All right. Mm-hmm. So you very quickly became very, very good in mountain running scene, becoming the 2019 World Mountain Running Champion, the Xterra Trail Run World Champion. How did that feel to do that well when you were so new to it? Like, I don't know, like, I don't suppose you had the time for expectations, but what was going on through your brain?
I was pretty shocked when I won mountain. That was never my goal going into that race. Mm-hmm. I know everyone says they want to win, but realistically, I was like, it's the world championship race. Like, I'm not going to win this thing. I started trail running 3 months ago. Like, I have no idea what the heck I'm doing. And that whole morning and night before, I was sick, and I just was like, it's not my day, like another day maybe. I was concerned I wasn't even gonna finish the race. So when I won, I was like, did I take a wrong turn? Did I cut the course somewhere? Like, where is everyone? What the freak is happening? Why did this happen? And I did kept asking myself why, which mm-hmm. maybe wasn't super healthy, because then I won Xterra by like 11 minutes. And then I was like, what is going on? Like, the universe is going to explode or something, because this should not be happening to me. And it's been several months. Even now, I'm still trying to like talk to my therapist about it and kind of cope with why I feel so detached from it, because it was so unexpected. And mm-hmm. it was really cool, but it wasn't something I spent my whole life working towards, when I know a lot of people do. So there is some guilt associated with that.
Yeah. Does any part of you wish you had that kind of, you know, I always talk about, for me, it took 14 years to get my goal, but like that, and that's a bit too extreme, but like, does any part of you wish that it maybe, you know, where do you go from here kind of thing?
That's yeah. kind of where I'm struggling is I don't know. And I've had to talk with my coach David about it. We talked yesterday about goals, and we kind of decided like, where do you go after you've won world champs your first year? Like, then what are you supposed to do? Like, what are you supposed to win? There's no Olympic trail running, and hopefully one day there will be, but yeah, so we kind of had to reframe what goals should be. And it's become like, well, let's just make sure 3 years from now, like, you're happy with your life and confident in your own skin, and you're doing things you enjoy doing, as opposed to having like one-minded, one-track goals that once you accomplish, I think you kind of fall off a cliff anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and I still feel guilty. I know there are a lot of people that would love to win and have been doing this for 10 plus years and still have it. And so it's hard for me to remember it's okay that I did it too. Mm-hmm. And
you still worked hard. It's not like you yeah. didn't train. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, still working on that one. Not a closed case yet.
Well, you are absolutely in very, very, very capable hands with David Roche. I can't think of a better person who could, you know, guide you through this path. Obviously, a successful coach, but very mm-hmm. wise, very focused on the why, very focused yes. on being happy, which is just what you need and great.
Very important.
But you also mentioned, you know, you work with a therapist. What are some of the things that the therapist has taught you about removing that pressure and removing that kind of expectation, especially having been at the top, as you move forward with your running?
I think that one of the things that really helped me the other day, she said, I told her I was running this race last weekend as my long run. And I told her, I feel pressure because I have to win because I'm the mountain world champion. Like, why wouldn't I win? Especially at a local race where there aren't any other pro runners there, and it's undue pressure that is silly. And she's like, well, are you entering the race as the world champion or as Grayson Murphy? And I was like, I'm entering it as Grayson Murphy. So it's helpful to dissociate my accomplishments from who I am. And that's been important, reminding me, like, I'm still Grayson running a race. I'm not the world champion running the race. And I can't think that that's what I'm always defined as now.
I think that's so good to mention. And again, can relate across the board. You know, runners often will have the race of their lives, will have this amazing accomplishment, tears streaming down their face because they can barely believe it happened. But then after that, kind of like, yeah, every race is, well, I've got to keep going up from here. And, you know, I think your message there and what your therapist said is that's fantastic, because you are always just going to be a person. You are just entering the race. You're just one other person in the race. So thank you for mentioning that. That's really helpful. Yeah. And finally, you've mentioned a few times that you need more than just focusing on running in your life. And I've always been the same way, so I definitely feel you there. But you created a training journal. You know, that seems from the outside kind of a very random thing to, like, you know, do on the side. But tell us about how that kind of came about.
So I started doing as a bullet journal for myself, and everything is hand-drawn. And that was because I was also bored and I was like, well, I like drawing, so I'll just, like, draw my own planner and take up some time, and it's fun. And I kept having people ask where I'd bought it, and I was like, I didn't buy this, I made it. And then I thought, well, I think I could share this with people and it'd be a good thing. It's really helpful to me, and it's fun, and it'd be like a fun business endeavor. Kind of jump off the cliff into the water feet first into, like, being an entrepreneur. So, like, whatever, like, I'll give it a go. And it was really fun. And the first year was, I learned a lot. It was stressful, but it was cool to learn about business and marketing and producing a product and selling it. And that's so unrelated to running or civil engineering. So it was really fun and new to me. And then the second year, it was about community. And so many people had the planner and wanted the next year's. And it was just really cool to be able to share that with people. Yeah. So that's been a fun side gig.
Yeah, I love that. And I will put links in the show notes for everyone if you want to go get yourself a copy, because it is really cool. And it's very different to other journals that you've seen out there, and kind of is a good mix of running and life in there. So yeah, thank you for that. So then what is next from here? What are some big things you have planned for 2020? Do you set goals now, or do you kind of prefer to just follow that joy and you know, not put the pressure on things?
I do have, well, you have a race schedule, just so I can kind of structure and have a little bit of structure. And so the big races I'm looking forward to are Sierra de Noll in August, which is one of part of the Golden Trail series, but just overall one of the most competitive sub-ultra trail events in the world. And that's in
what does sub-ultra mean for someone who's never heard that term before?
So it's under, technically under a marathon, but I think in the running or trail world, it's under 30K, or sorry, 30 miles. So even up to 30 is kind of short to a lot of ultra runners. So Sierra de Noll is only 19 miles, so it's even less than a marathon. And supposed to be pretty runnable, which I think right now is where I can excel because I still have that road speed and then can handle the climbs. So I'm excited about that. And it's just a cool race. And I've never been to Switzerland, and my sister and two friends are coming. So it'll be a really cool, fun girls trip too. And then hoping to go back to World Champs this year. I'm going to try and apply for a spot on the long distance team this year, as opposed to the classic distance team from last year.
What does that mean?
So last year was up to 16K is the classic distance, and that's the one I won. And then long distance is a full 42K, and that one is, you can get on the team by application instead of by the trials race for short distance. Yeah.
Okay. And then what about looking long term? Do you have anything, like, I've always wanted to run a 24-hour race, or I've always wanted to run up a certain mountain? Like, are there any long-term things you have?
I guess, well, I want to do everything. I would love to run for 24 hours. I'd love to do ultras. So eventually in my lifetime, yes, I think that is where I'm headed. I don't know how soon, because I don't want to overcook myself either. And I do have to remember, like, this is my sixth year of running and I need to pump the brakes sometimes. I can't get overzealous and just try and do all the races all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think for now we're sticking under marathons and just kind of letting my heart guide and enthusiasm guide. I did recently become interested in doing some FKTs, so that might be in the near future as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Grand Canyon's pretty close to me, so that might be a fun one.
Cool. Yeah. That actually is on my, not the fastest known time, but to run the, is it the, it's called the Rim or is it called the Basin?
The Rim. Mm-hmm.
The Rim of the Grand Canyon. I definitely want to do that at some point, but not. I won't be trying to run with you. That's just okay, Grayson, how can people find more about you? As I said, I will put a link to your training journal, but what about following you, finding you in the future? Where can they go?
Yeah, so my Twitter, Instagram are Grayson_Grayson.
Without and the then G. Right?
Yes.
It's the G in your name, but Grayson. One G. Yeah.
Just one G. And then my website is Grayson.
Okay.
So hopefully pretty easy.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much. Well, thank you for your wisdom. Like, it really, I'm just kind of like taken aback by how wise you are for, like you said, 6 years of running. Just you've learned things and you understand things that take runners 20 years to learn sometimes. So, or maybe I'm just slow in that way, but I appreciate you and your wisdom and for what you've shared with us and being real and vulnerable. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
My friends, if you have a minute and you could leave a review on your favorite podcast player, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Spotify, or whatever else podcast player you use to listen to this podcast. Or if you would subscribe to this podcast, you will help me get out in front of new runners to make our tribe even bigger and even better. It might not seem like you as one person can make a difference, but really, it helps a lot. And it shows me you appreciate the hard work I put in for those. Thank you so much. A very different episode to, I think, most that we have had, in that Grayson's story is kind of that dream story, or at least it looks like it from the outside. But you see that it's not necessarily always what it seems. And there are some difficult things with success coming very naturally and very easily to you. I also think she is a great example of someone kind of following their heart, trusting in their gut feeling, whereas I think it would be difficult for us to do that in many cases, because it's always, you know, hard to give up those nice cushy things that you have when that little voice inside of you is telling you it's not quite right. So I hope that episode inspired you and kind of made you see that you can do things that are brave and are scary, but they're going to lead to great things in the long run. All right. So next week we are going to be speaking to Shanna Burnett, who has many, many roles, but is primarily known in the running world, I think, for being Cara Goucher's agent, and also for founding the Clean Sport Collective nonprofit, which many of you are big fans of. I hope you will go to sign up for Clean Sport Collective and be a part of this kind of rising movement that is happening to kind of protect running and to show your support to athletes who are kind of going about things the right way. So I'm excited for you to hear from Shanna. You can find links to everything that we talked about today in the show notes at tinamuir.com/episode185. And I hope you will go check out some of the sponsors from this show. They really have been wonderful to me and really so supportive, especially during this tough year. So I want to send a big thank you to the sponsors of this episode, because there's so many things that could be abandoned while we're going through this tough year, but they have stuck by me. So make sure you go check them out in the show notes. And my friends, I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Running for Real podcast. Be sure to check out tinamuir.com for show notes and even more helpful running information.